Mighty Ride, and I just want to share a little bit with you guys tonight. Last week in prayer, Pastor Laurie kind of challenged us to be in a place of prayer for awakening. And what was on their heart for awakening is for healing. And I love seeing God heal. I love how God has healed me. And there's this process of God healing me. And I want to share a little bit with that with you guys tonight about that. But so tonight I'm going to be sharing about healing the place of desperation from the book of Mark chapter 5. A lot of us are used to this narrative. We know the story. We know what's going on in this chapter. But there's a lot happening. And I'm going to only scratch the surface this evening. But my heart is by the end of tonight that we have that mindset as a church. That as we go through these next several days, but not just these days, but in a year, in 2 years, that the heartbeat of this house is healing. So we are an assignment-oriented house. What do I mean by that? When the pastors and the ministry leaders, we hear from the Lord, we want to have actionables. We just don't want to say, hey, we're going to have people come to the church, let's do outreach. What does that look like? So there's actions to create the atmosphere. Last time I spoke, I was talking about creating the atmosphere. So how can we have actionables when it comes to healing? And I believe that in Mark chapter 5, we have this opening of what it looks like to be ambassadors of healing, but also allowing God to heal us. And part of that comes in a place of desperation. There's moments where in my life I'm hungry and I'm so starving, I open up the refrigerator door and there's nothing in it. So instead of just bemoaning the fact that there's nothing in the refrigerator, I'm starting to get desperate. I'm thinking, I'm going to get in my car and go to Chick-fil-A because I'm desperate. And I'm so desperate, I'm willing to wait in long lines for some good food. So the thought is, are we desperate for one, to have healing? Two, are we desperate for God to use us in a place of healing? Because that's where it begins. Not just for someone to be so desperate that they need healing, but that we're so desperate to hear the heart of God that we're willing to impart that as he gives us the impartation. So some of you tonight might know someone that needs healing. Some of you might need healing yourself. And I'm not just talking about physical healing. My story is I need physical healing, but I've needed spiritual and mental healing. And God, I'm glad to tell you, is in that business. And even today, this week, God's been healing my mind, healing my spirit from spiritual wounds, church hurt, emotional wounds from family, and so many things. I just want to thank the Lord that he's doing that, and I've positioned myself to allow him to do that. So tonight, I'm going to ask you to go through a place of being desperate with the Lord and allowing the spirit of intercession to boldly come upon us. That way we can shift the atmosphere for faith. That tonight we have this faith that as we go into awakening, that we allow God to move as he wants to move, to stir the atmosphere of faith for healing, for divine miracles, signs and wonders through emotions, our spirit, and our physical bodies in this community. So if you open up your Bibles, we're going to start with Mark 5:21. And we see this intertwining narrative of desperation. And it says, now when Jesus had crossed over again by boat to the other side, a great multitude gathered to him, and he was by the sea. And behold, one of the rulers of the synagogue came, Jairus by name. When he saw him, he fell at his feet and begged him earnestly, saying, my little daughter lies at the point of death. Come and lay your hands on her, that she may be healed, and she will live. So Jesus went with him, and a great multitude followed him and thronged him. All right, let's take a look at this. Jairus was a ruler in the synagogue. So he risked position and social standing going to Jesus. This is a desperate man. It's really kind of nice to think, you know, Jairus is going to reach out to Jesus. But what is that risk? Let's translate that today. You know, we're asking the Lord to heal us or for a financial miracle, but what are our friends going to think of that? You know, if you're saying, I'm believing God to pay off this car or God to pay off this debt, and your financial advisor looks at you and says, you know what, you need to pull this stock, you need to do this, you need to cash in this 401k, and you're saying, I'm believing God to wipe out this debt, that's going to risk something. Are we desperate enough to go to Jesus for the answer before anybody else? So we have Jairus, a ruler in the synagogue, risking that. Two, faith petitions action. This is cause and effect. What do I mean by this? So the faith in Jairus is coming to Jesus for an actionable. He's saying, Jesus, would you do this thing for me? It's not like, God, whatever you want to do, here I am. It was asking for an actionable. He says, could you come? I need you. Number three, there's a yielding. This is an important piece. Not just us, those that are leaders that God wants to use, or not just leaders, but believers to use to impart healing, but to those receiving. There's got to be a yielding. Jairus humbled himself before Jesus. He fell at his feet. It wasn't just, hey, Jesus, could you help me? It was, I'm on my feet. This is a ruler of the synagogue. He has position. He has status. And he's going down to somebody that we know was an outcast, a disturber of the peace, as it were. I don't know how many Lord of the Rings fans we have in the house, but thank you. Oh, hallelujah. But we see Gandalf coming to Bag End in the Shire, and he's labeled a disturber of the peace. Jesus is a disturber of the peace as he ministers in the surrounding region. And if you've had an opportunity to look at the Chosen TV series, we kind of see that a little bit, where all of a sudden there's this tension growing with the religious community, the Pharisees, the Sadducees, and they're like, we don't know what to do with this man. He's kind of upturning things. Let's go back to Mark. Now, a certain woman had a flow of blood for 12 years and had suffered many things from many physicians. She had spent all that she had and was no better, but rather grew worse. When she heard about Jesus, she came behind him in the crowd and touched his garment. For she said, if only I may touch his clothes, I shall be made well. Immediately, the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of affliction. She must have heard about Jairus' faith and Jesus' healing in that moment. It doesn't fully say it, but she was nearby. She probably heard Jairus' faith and knew Jairus probably by sight. We know that the Sadducees and the Pharisees, they had garments they liked to wear. So I'm assuming in haste, Jairus didn't like clothe himself with, you know, garments that kind of covered up his identity. He's just headed out. Hey, I'm after Jesus. And this woman is saying, wait a second, I'm hearing this boldness of faith. So she says, I'm going to believe. I'm going to put a demand on Jesus. I'm going to put a demand on heaven. Number two to this, faith pushes through. It pushes through the crowd. There are moments that we have to contend for healing. Maybe for healing for ourselves or for somebody else, but we have to push through. And that can be hard. It can be painful. There's obstacles. A lot of times we see an obstacle and we immediately say, well, it must not be God. There's an obstacle. I don't know if it's God. Push through and touch the hem of his garment. Interesting here is this woman, she's suffered many things from many physicians. So she's gone to them before she's gone to the Lord. I'm not saying that we can't go to physicians. I went to the dentist on Monday. It was important. But I also consulted God first. What I like about King David, he goes back and he's like, God, do you want me to do this? He inquires. We see all the kings that were those that love the Lord inquire of the Lord. They says, where is the man of God? Let's inquire of him before we go to battle. Where's the prophet? Let us inquire of the Lord before we go. So she's been in a place where she's tried everything. There's desperation. She's so desperate, she's willing to push through the crowd. I'm assuming they're probably like, she's unclean. And she's still pushing through. she's breaking through to something else that's going on. Let's continue. Verse 30. And Jesus immediately, knowing in himself that the power had gone out of him, turned around in the crowd and said, "Who touched my clothes?" But his disciples said to him, But he said to him, "You see the multitude thronging around you. You say, 'Who touched me?'" And he looked around to see her who had done this. But the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing that what had happened to her, came and fell down before him and told him the whole truth. And he said to her, "Daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace and be healed of your affliction." With healing, there's a cost. We already know the Lord has taken that ultimate price. But there was a price for her, possibly humiliation, ridicule. And now she's confronted with Jesus. She didn't talk to Jesus. She just pressed in and touched the hem of his garment to receive her healing. And now he's like, wait a second, something just happened. Someone put a demand on heaven here, and power's gone out. So who was it? So now she's being honest. We got to be honest with God. There's times where I want to deny something. Well, God already knows. Let's not play little tiddlywinks with the Lord. He already knows. He's on the throne. He's sovereign. So let's look out for being honest to the Lord. Sometimes what the Lord asks of us can be silly. It can look different. It can be something that is completely not what we're okay with. We'll talk about that in a little while. What is interesting thing here is Jesus is already on assignment. I've seen some of ministry leaders, not in this house, but immediately when God is doing something and they're in the moment with somebody here, someone comes up and they're like, I need something. Well, yes, we're going to do things decently and in order, but we also need to understand that sometimes in the middle of what we're doing, God has something else for us to do. So don't be one-track minded that we have to be ministering to this one person because God is still doing and moving something. And we see that here. Because Jesus was on assignment with Jairus. He said, "Let's go." He didn't say, "Let's go and I have a pit stop." He said, "Let's go." Let's go back to the scripture. Verse 35. While he was still speaking, some came from the ruler of the synagogue's house who said, "Your daughter is dead. Why trouble the teacher any further?" As soon as Jesus heard the words that were spoken, he said to the ruler of the synagogue, "Do not be afraid, only believe." And he permitted no one to follow him except Peter, James, and John, the brother of James. Then he came to the house of the ruler of the synagogue and saw a tumult, and those who wept and wailed loudly. When he came in, he said to them, "Why make this commotion and weep? The child is not dead, but sleeping." Something here that I looked at, point one, Jesus brought in his inner circle, his A-team. So it's not just anybody out of the 12 that he's decided to bring. Now we see, you know, he's got the 12, he's got the 3, Peter, James, and John, then he's got the 1, Peter. So he's bringing his A-team. In that moment, he's releasing faith in what Abba, or what kingdom, wants to do in the situation. And there's many times that sometimes we get conflicted and we're like, I don't know what God wants. Let's look to the kingdom of God. What does heaven want to do in this element? So then we can push out that which is interfering. So we want healing in the house. So when we have awakening, any atmosphere that's not conducive to the awakening of our faith needs to be pushed out. It's not saying it's bad, it's evil. It's just put it out. Because we're bringing kingdom. I'm believing. When you hear this, I'm believing Pastor Matt and Pastor Laurie are hearing the Lord about awakening on Sunday. Do you hear the Lord about healing in the house? Do you hear him? If you've got that buy-in, then we're going to pray and intercede for Sunday night. Then it just doesn't stop on a Sunday night, but it overflows because you're believing heaven's response. You're not allowing the weepers and the tumult to happen. You're like, nope, not on my watch. So you're going to go into a place of intercession. You're going to go into a place of setting the atmosphere for faith so Abba can minister, so kingdom of heaven can come. Verse 40. And then they ridiculed him. There's a price. There's a price. There's going to be times that people are like, you're going to be believing for what? Are you sure? I don't know, man. But when he had put them all outside, he took the father, the mother, the child, and those who were with him, and he entered where the child was lying. Then he took the child by the hand, and he said to her, Talitha kumai, which is translated little girl, I say to you, arise. Immediately the girl arose and walked, for she was 12 years of age, and they were overcome with great amazement. But he commanded them strictly that no one should know it, and said that they should, let's see, and they said that something should be given to her to eat. I love that. Something, give her something to eat. In the midst of this situation, there's humanity. She needs to eat. One, Jesus sets an atmosphere of faith by putting out those that were not seeing the kingdom or hearing Abba's heart. Two, he speaks life over the girl. There's times where we have to speak to ourselves if we're needing healing, or we need to speak to the situation or the person that we're ministering to. It's not just enough to have the atmosphere, but we have to speak the kingdom. Jesus himself comes in there and speaking life over that young girl, saying, arise, be. So tonight, we want God to bring us a heart of compassion. On Sunday, I think it was on Sunday, Saturday, my wife and I, we went on a date. We went strawberry picking, and then we decided to go take a walk in Ghent in the historic district next to The Hague by the Chrysler Museum. And I had this brief little vision in my head, and I thought, that's crazy, that there was somebody that we were going to minister to. I just kind of put it outside of my mind because I'm on a date, y'all. I've got a mindset. I'm romancing my wife. We're strawberry picking, and we're going around the historic district. That's romantic, isn't it? Thank you. So we're on the bridge on the Hague. We were there for around 30 minutes, and there was this guy at the end of the bridge, and we just start walking. And as I saw him, this compassion overwhelmed me. And I was like, wow, okay, Lord. But I thought, no, I'm on a date. God wouldn't come crashing in on my date. Yeah. I keep walking, and my beautiful wife says, Parker, I think we need to minister to that guy. Just something in his eyes. I just felt compassion for him. I'm like, dear Lord, no, not on my date. I just keep walking. And Evangeline's eyes, so gorgeous, looked at me with just this longing and desperation in our eyes of saying, would you be obedient, man? And I'm just like, no, Lord, no. I'm on my date, Lord. I'm hungry. I want to go home. I turned around. He's back there. I'm like, okay. We start walking, and the guy gets up and leaves. I'm like, oh, thank you, Jesus. He's leaving. And the Lord says, no, son, keep walking. Keep going. So we keep walking. We keep going. We catch up to him, and Evangeline says, I'm going to yell out to him. I'm like, no, don't yell. She's like, I'm Latina. I'm going to let yell. I'm like, okay. He comes over, and I'm just staring at him, and I talked to him. I said, look, I just had the love of God enter my heart for you. Is there any way we can pray for you? And he goes, looks at me like, wow. Then he's like, No. I'm like, see, God, he didn't need it. And the Lord says, one, I was testing your obedience. But did you not feel the heart of compassion? No matter what is that desperation? On my part, was there a desperation to be obedient to God? I'm sad to say it wasn't so desperate that I immediately obeyed God. And I repent for that. But it was desperate enough that I decided to go back in my repentance and obey the Lord. there might have been a little bit of a different story. We did pray for him as we walked away because he didn't receive it. But that wasn't the point. And I really felt that God was testing my desperation. Two, we need to know the Father's heart for that individual. We can't just be like, well, obviously they're poor or they have a skin condition, so that's what we're going after. Know the heart of the Father. That's part of the reason we need the prophetic. That's part of the reason we need to have that connection, daily time with the Lord in prayer and intercession. Three, we need to facilitate the healing. So like I said earlier, we need the atmosphere of faith. We can't just be like, hey, man, I know you're poor. I know you're begging over here, but just get better, man. Just get a job. That's not stirring him for faith. What words, what actions is kingdom going to be speaking over him that's going to make him maybe in the flesh stand up? Maybe he needs healing. Or maybe there's a spirit of poverty over this person that when we speak life, it dissipates and he allows to see kingdom. Four, desperate to bring them Jesus as they're desperate for him. See, Jairus was desperate to bring Jesus to his daughter. Are we willing to be desperate? You know, a lot of times, Chuck's talking about, hey, bring people into the church. Are we desperate to see people be brought into the church? Are we desperate in our workplaces to bring salvation to them, which is a type of healing? That is a type of healing. Number five, put out rejection. I really appreciate Pastor Matt speaking on this on Sunday. I'm going to quote him. Past rejection does not have the power to cancel what God intends for us today. You know, with the woman with the issue of blood, all that rejection, all of these things that she went through, when she heard Jesus was there, she put all that rejection out. She went, nope, I'm going after him. If I could just touch the hem of his garment, something's going to happen. I'm going to be healed. So we have to put out that rejection. We could have gone before the Lord time and time and time and time again, and nothing happened. Seek him. Watch him move. Six, press into Jesus. What is he saying? I've been dealing with a physical issue for 8 years now. And it's been a struggle. Something I don't always talk about, but it's been a struggle. And in my workplace where there's been times where it's just intense and intense, and you keep on going, it's just like, well, I'm dead inside, but I'm running. I'm keeping going. I'm going. And it came to a place in February that the Lord said to me, you can't keep going. And I'm not going to allow you to keep going any further because you're destroying your body and you're destroying your health. And I remember sitting in my living room floor just weeping before the Lord saying, I don't know what to do. I've been to the doctors. They don't know. I spent thousands of dollars. I've gone to them time and time again. I don't know what to do. And the Lord's like, take this one step. I did. Changed my eating habits. Took this other step. Right now, I'm not 100% healed, but I tell you what, I'm 70% of what I was in February, and praise God. Because there was a desperation on my part. I am no longer going to sit here in a place with sackcloth and ashes, bemoaning my predicament and saying, God, would you heal me? And God's saying, I've already given you actionables. What are you expecting? A genie to come up and go, woo? When the Lord says do it, you do it. He gave you an actionable. Now, it might not be the same process as somebody else. Do you remember that man named Naaman? The man of God could just have said, be healed. But he made him do something he didn't want to do. He made him do something and go somewhere he didn't want to go. And God's saying, there's something I'm doing in his heart. Why did Jesus, in some of the healings, take like spit and mix it with mud and put it on the dude's eyes? He could have just said, be healed, son. There's something in the process. So tonight, as we close, what is our desperation? It may not look like what sister so-and-so or brother so-and-so did. But in our desperate place, whether we need emotional healing, physical healing, spiritual healing, God's been doing a spiritual healing in me. I was asleep and I woke up and I had a dream, and the Lord was kind of speaking to me in this dream of needing to go in and kind of deal with some things with family members in a dream. I was unsettled, but I realized there was an area in my life that emotionally I was not okay in. Once I was able to deal with that, I was able to minister to my wife and our marriage in a certain way, because I was willing in my desperation to go before God and to receive that place of healing, even in the uncomfortable place. So are we desperate? Let's just stand for a moment. We're just going to go before God in a place of circumcising our hearts for a season of desperate healing in this house. There's been many leaders that have come into this house that were broken, rejected, and dejected, disillusioned with the church. We're going to take a moment and just pray healing over them. There's people that have come into this house, in this church, in this area, that physically they're struggling with something, whether it's a heart murmur, maybe cancer, maybe something else. We're going to put that on the altar. Maybe there's emotions, family issues. We're going to call out to and cry out to the Lord that he would bring healing. There's fractures in the religious community. Let's ask God for healing in Chesapeake, Virginia, among the denominations. The Assemblies of God doesn't have it. The Presbyterians don't have it. The Baptists don't have it. Those that are in Christ Jesus have it. He's the cornerstone. So, Father in heaven, we cry out tonight with a desperation for you to come, that you would show us what it looks like. Even on Sunday, God, we just cry out for healing. We cry out healing in our hearts. We cry out healing, God, physically. That right now, if there's anything that needs to be healed, God, we just speak it out right now. Whether there's hearing issues right now, that they're healed. That cancer is eradicated on Sunday, or even now, Father. That prodigals that are needing to come home would just have a heart and emotional healing right now in Jesus' name. The pastors that are broken, that are tired, that are weary, just pray right now for strength, energy in the name of Jesus. So we cry out in desperation for kingdom to come, the kingdom to move. That we cry out to you, God, that the people would part before us as we just grab the hem of your garment in desperation, saying, would you heal our land? That is fractured politically, that is fractured financially, that is fractured ethnically and socially. Would you come in Jesus' name and heal this land? Amen and amen.